Have you ever caught yourself scrolling through social media, feeling a sudden pang of inadequacy as you compare your ordinary Tuesday to someone else's highlight reel? That uncomfortable sensation, half envy, half shame, is status anxiety, and it's quietly eating away at millions of us. We live in an age of unprecedented abundance, yet we feel perpetually inadequate. Our grandparents might have owned one decent outfit and felt content. We have closets bursting with clothes and still feel we have nothing to wear to impress. This paradox sits at the heart of our modern malaise. What we're really chasing when we pursue the corner office, the luxury car, or the perfect Instagram aesthetic isn't the thing itself. It's the promise of love and acceptance it represents. Behind every ambitious climb up the corporate ladder lies a child's simple question: am I worthy of being loved? Think back to childhood, when your parents' affection felt unconditional. You were loved simply for existing. But somewhere along the journey to adulthood, the rules changed. Suddenly, love became something you had to earn through achievement, appearance, or status. This shift fundamentally reshapes how we see ourselves. When someone praises our work, promotes us, or even just likes our social media post, they're doing more than acknowledging an accomplishment. They're confirming our right to exist, our worthiness of attention. External validation becomes the mirror through which we see ourselves. A promotion whispers, "You matter." Being overlooked suggests you're invisible. This explains why unemployment devastates beyond financial hardship. Losing a job means losing daily confirmation of your value. The workplace becomes a theater where we constantly audition for acceptance. Even wildly successful people struggle with imposter syndrome because they understand a fundamental truth. The love received through achievement is always conditional, always temporary, always demanding fresh proof. Beneath superiority lies desperation. Snobbery isn't confidence. It's a defense mechanism against the terror of being deemed worthless. The snob creates elaborate hierarchies not from genuine belief, but because placing themselves near the top offers temporary relief from status anxiety. When someone mocks your taste, they're not judging you. They're frantically trying to establish their own value by comparison. In 1959, Nixon showcased a gleaming American kitchen to Khrushchev, a symbol of Western capitalism's triumph. Since the 18th century, the West transformed dramatically. Agricultural innovations reduced starvation, industrialization made luxuries affordable, and electricity, automobiles, and telephones became commonplace. Yet as material conditions soared, status anxiety intensified. Why would people living better than medieval royalty feel more insecure than their great-grandparents who struggled to afford shoes? We don't measure well-being against the past. We compare ourselves to neighbors, colleagues, and curated lives on screens. When comparisons reveal gaps, bigger houses, better titles, more followers, we experience genuine deprivation regardless of absolute wealth. Rousseau understood this. True wealth means desiring little, not having much. Modern consumer culture deliberately cultivates this gap, ensuring our wants always exceed our possessions. Here's an uncomfortable truth. You probably feel more envious of your college classmate who just made partner than you do of Jeff Bezos. The philosopher David Hume noticed that envy operates most powerfully between peers, people whose achievements seem within our reach. We can imagine ourselves in our colleague's position, so their success feels like our failure. Bezos exists in such a different stratosphere that comparison seems absurd. This principle explains why status anxiety intensifies in more equal societies. When rigid class boundaries dissolve, we suddenly have many more potential comparisons. In a feudal society, a peasant didn't compare himself to the king because that gulf was unbridgeable. But in a meritocracy, anyone might theoretically rise, which means anyone who doesn't rise has only themselves to blame. Democratic revolutions promised liberation, but created a new psychological burden. If anyone can succeed through merit, then failure becomes a personal indictment. You can't blame the system, fate, or God's plan. the burden of proving your worth falls entirely on you, creating constant anxiety about measuring up. Modern employment, with its precarious arrangements and frequent career transitions, amplifies this pressure, where each setback threatens not just your income, but your identity. Meritocracy challenged hereditary privilege through educational reforms and anti-discrimination laws, but it introduced a cruel paradox. If success reflects merit, then failure implies personal deficiency, laziness, stupidity, or moral failure. Under aristocracy, the poor maintained dignity knowing the system was rigged. Under meritocracy, poverty suggests inherent inadequacy. Modern status rests on precarious foundations. Unlike inherited land or titles, talent offers no guaranteed security. Luck plays an enormous role, though modern ideology resists acknowledging it. The shift from self-employment to wage labor created additional vulnerability. Most now depend on employers for livelihood and status. Even dedicated employees face threats from mergers, downsizing, or outsourcing, decisions unrelated to individual performance, yet devastating to personal status. Ancient Greek philosophers offer a radical alternative. Evaluate yourself through rational self-assessment rather than others' opinions. Socrates and Diogenes prioritized wisdom and integrity over wealth or social standing. When facing criticism or praise, ask, is this accurate? Does it align with my values? Does this person have relevant knowledge? This rational filter incorporates useful feedback while rejecting unfounded judgments. Art provides complementary relief by presenting alternative value systems. In great novels, true status often defies convention. Moral qualities outweigh wealth. Characters appearing successful may be spiritually impoverished, while seemingly insignificant figures possess hidden dignity. Tragic art addresses status anxiety through compassionate treatment of failure. Where modern media mocks those who fall short, tragedy presents ruin with empathy. The tragic hero's downfall stems not from worthlessness, but from specific errors made under pressure. By portraying failure as a universal human possibility, tragedy fosters humility and compassion. Contemplating mortality offers another powerful perspective. Death eventually erases all distinctions of rank and privilege. Status criteria shift dramatically across time and culture. Ancient Sparta prized martial prowess. Early Christian Europe celebrated poverty. 18th century England required wealth and refined tastes. Amazonian tribes measured jaguar hunting skill. Today's West values entrepreneurial success. Historical perspective exposes how contingent any hierarchy is, reducing status anxiety's sting. The Bohemian movement directly challenged commercial values, rejecting bourgeois conventions that prioritized financial success over artistic expression. Figures like Baudelaire and Kerouac chose creative freedom over conventional careers, establishing an alternative hierarchy where artistic accomplishment outranked material success. The key insight? While the desire for recognition appears universal, we can choose which communities validate us. Artists seek validation from peers who understand their vision. Spiritual individuals value religious community recognition over workplace advancement. By identifying audiences whose values match our own, we pursue authentic status rather than imposed standards. Status anxiety may be inevitable, but understanding its mechanisms through philosophy, art, history, and community reduces its power. The goal isn't eliminating the desire for recognition, but aligning it with our deepest values and remembering that your worth doesn't depend on anyone else's opinion.